Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Matthew 7:15. Welcome, dear listeners. Today, we're going to talk about false prophets. Stay with us until the end of this video, and together we will uncover the whole truth about false prophets. But before we dive into this topic, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and activate the notification bell so that YouTube notifies you whenever we publish a new video. Let's get started. Imagine you come across a sign that says, "Beware of the dog." Immediately, you are on alert. But how would you react if someone told you, "Beware, there's a pit bull loose"? Suppose you have no idea what these animals look like. How could you protect yourself adequately? To follow that warning, you would need a detailed description of the dog in question. Otherwise, you might end up being afraid of all dogs you encounter on the street. Similarly, it happens with Jesus Christ's warning in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." For us to take this warning seriously, we need to know how to distinguish true teachers from false ones so that we don't end up rejecting everyone without distinction or listening to those we shouldn't. Jesus did not say to beware of all preachers and pastors, but specifically of false prophets. So what is a prophet? In general terms, a prophet is someone who speaks God's truth to others. The Greek word prophets can mean one who speaks or one who advocates. Prophets are also called seers due to their spiritual insight or ability to foresee the future. In the Bible, prophets had both the function of teaching and bringing revelation, declaring God's truth about contemporary issues while also revealing details about the future. The ministry of Isaiah, for example, addressed both the present and the future. He preached boldly against the corruption of his day and delivered great visions of Israel's future. Prophets had the task of faithfully speaking God's word to the people. They were instruments to guide the nation of Israel and establish the church. God's household is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20. Many prophets are mentioned in the Bible, including women. Furthermore, many others prophesied, as in the case of the 70 elders of Israel. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. He took of the Spirit that was on him and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. Numbers 11:25. The first prophet mentioned in the Bible is Abraham. "Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all who belong to you will die." Genesis 20:7. God revealed himself to Abraham on numerous occasions. Both Jacob and Joseph, descendants of Abraham, had dreams about the future that can be considered prophetic. Moses was called a man of God and considered a great prophet. Joshua and many of the judges served as prophets, as did Samuel, who was the last judge and had the privilege of hearing God's voice from childhood. The time of Elijah and Elisha was characterized by a high level of prophetic activity. A school of prophets flourished during their lives, and both Elijah and Elisha performed many miracles. In the New Testament, John the Baptist prophesied about the Messiah. Jesus himself came as a prophet, priest, king, and Messiah, fulfilling many of the Old Testament's messianic prophecies. The early church also had prophets. For example, Ananias was given a prophecy about the future of the Apostle Paul. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied, Acts 21-9. Prophecy is listed as a spiritual gift. In the end times, two witnesses will prophesy from Jerusalem. Generally, prophets sent by God are despised, and their messages are ignored. Isaiah describes his nation, "For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, 'See no more visions,' and to the prophets, 'Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions.'" Isaiah 39:10. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus laments that Jerusalem has killed the prophets sent by God. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, How often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Luke 13:34. Not everyone who proclaims a message is truly a prophet of God. False prophets are prophets of a false god, an idol, or those who claim to speak in the name of the true God, but do so falsely. King Ahab kept 400 of these false prophets who told him what he wanted to hear. In the New Testament, there are many warnings against false prophets. Jesus taught, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Matthew 7:15. He added that in the last times, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Matthew 24:24. Revelation speaks of a false prophet who will arise during the tribulation. "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur." Revelation 19:19-20. To avoid being deceived, we must always test the spirits to see if they are from God. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. John warned against believing every spirit. We should never assume that every spiritual experience and demonstration of spiritual power is from God. We must test spiritual experiences and phenomena to see if they are truly from God. Many believers, when confronted with the reality of the spiritual world for the first time, are impressed and amazed without questioning if they are from God. This leads to easy deception. Even though the early church had a strong spiritual life and a high degree of purity, John knew that false prophets and their messages were real in the church. The text tells us to test the spirits to see if they are from God. We cannot waste time paying attention to everyone who claims to have supernatural powers. We are instructed to verify the truthfulness of these people. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. 1 Corinthians 14:29. And test everything, hold on to what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Testing the spirits is the work of the body of Christ, using the discernment gifts God has given Christians, especially the leaders of the congregation. All prophecy must be judged according to the scriptures, as there are many false prophets today. False prophets are false teachers. Paul used this word in 1 Corinthians 14:3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. To prophesy here means to teach, exhort, and instruct. Today, there are teachers we need to stay alert to. Prophecy has become an interesting topic, and so it should be. However, an expert said we must be careful with those who abuse prophecies for their own benefit. Many people claim to speak in God's name, but do so falsely. Some false prophets infiltrate the church, bringing destructive heresies and leading people away from the truth with their tempting doctrine. Peter warned, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves." 2 Peter 2:1. False prophets do not teach the truth of the Bible. Sometimes they openly teach something contrary to God's word. Other times they distort the truth or add their own opinions, while some false prophets deceive themselves and do not realize they are spreading lies. Many others are driven by greed and pride. Their goal is not to make disciples of Jesus, but of their own doctrine. False prophets bring destruction to the church. Their distorted doctrine attracts unstable people who lack a solid foundation or who are just beginning to seek God. In 2 Peter 2:14-15, we read, "With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. These impious false prophets are a dangerous and corrupt presence in the body of Christ, deceiving not only others, but also themselves. The quoted text tells us they have eyes full of adultery and a heart trained in greed. They desire every woman they see, considering each woman a potential victim. Furthermore, they are a cursed brood. These false prophets are equipped not for ministry, but for selfish gain. They are truly children of the curse. We all train our hearts for something, whether for greed and lust or for godliness. These false prophets are like Balaam, guilty of the greatest sin, leading others into sin for their own benefit. Balaam had to be rebuked by a dumb donkey because he did not want to listen to God. Even strong Christians in the faith can be deceived for a time before realizing the true intentions of the false teacher. They preach freedom, but their doctrine only leads to chains. Peter says, "Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." 2 Peter 2:2. Ultimately, the work of false prophets blasphemes the name of God and ruins the reputation of his people. In Matthew 7:15-23, Jesus warns, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" The warnings about false prophets are based on the conviction that not all prophets are true, that truth can be violated, and that the enemies of the gospel often hide their hostility and pretend to be brothers in the faith. It is in the nature of false prophets to deceive and deny their own character. Often they even deceive themselves, believing they are sheep when in reality they are ravenous wolves. The wolf exists for nothing else but to devour. We cannot keep it as a pet or eat its meat. This beast is out there and we must be on guard against it. Likewise, we must protect ourselves from these men who exist only to divert the souls of those awakened by the preaching of the gospel. They place themselves at the narrow gate to do everything they can to prevent sinners from entering through it. These false prophets seem harmless, meek, and gentle, but the Lord warns us that if we fall into their clutches, we will be devoured. In Romans 16:17-18, the Apostle Paul not only warns, but also pleads with the brothers to keep their eyes open due to the enormous danger these men represent. "I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people." The words of these men are smooth and easy to swallow. Paul uses a compound Greek word, krestologia, from krestos, meaning useful, good, beneficial, and logia, meaning discourse. They do not come saying they do not believe the Bible is the word of God, but rather speaking of things that seem useful, and with these smooth words, they deceive the minds of the naive. The basic failure of a false prophet is self-interest. It may be expressed by the desire to obtain an easy life, prestige, or to apply their own ideas rather than God's ideas. The quoted text tells us, "By their fruit you will recognize them." We guard ourselves against false prophets by observing their fruit. This means observing different aspects of their lives and ministries. 1. We must pay attention to the lifestyle that a teacher demonstrates. Does he demonstrate righteousness, humility, and faithfulness in his way of living? 2. We must pay attention to the content of their teachings. Is it true fruit of God's word, or is it man-centered and sounds good to the ears? 3. We must pay attention to the effect of their teachings. Are people growing in Jesus, or just being entertained and eventually falling away? Anyone who teaches a different way to heaven, other than through the narrow gate of repentance and faith, is a false prophet, even if they quote half the Bible in every sermon. The salvation that Christ offers the sinner through faith is not merely a free pass to heaven, but rather reconciliation with God and liberation from the dominion of sin over our lives. It includes the dethroning of sin and the enthronement of grace. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14. Dear listener, if you are under grace, sin cannot continue to reign. We struggle daily against it, but it is no longer our king. In the same chapter of Romans, in verse 22, Paul continues to say, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." Who are those who have eternal life as their end? Those who now have holiness as their fruit, because they have been set free from sin. The false prophet excludes this essential aspect of the gospel from his message. They entertain people with various topics, some very useful, but do not speak of repentance. They do not confront people with their sins, nor do they speak of the faith in Christ that leads us to embrace him as he is offered in the gospel, not just as our priest, but also as our prophet and king. In other words, these false prophets introduce their poison both by what they say and by what they omit. They do not completely discard the Bible, but add to and subtract from it. They maintain certain essentials of the Bible, speak of Christ, his death on the cross, and trusting in him. But all this becomes in their preaching a set of meaningless phrases. Dear listeners, fortunately the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and false prophets are no different. In the same chapter on false prophets, Peter reminds the church that the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. 2 Peter 2:9. God condemns false prophets with some of the most intense descriptions of judgment in the Bible. He promises their destruction will be swift. These people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. 2 Peter 2:17. Friend, if you do not want to belong to this group, make sure you have entered through the narrow gate and are walking the narrow path. In Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." If there is a false prophet in your church, among your Christian friends, or in the media, who is leading Christians away from the truth, remember that for Christians, it is only a test that will pass. Their wickedness will be exposed, and those faithfully following Christ will eventually see their teeth through their sheep's exterior. We can pray that false prophets repent of their errors and that others are not taken captive. We must be diligent in studying the truth ourselves. The best way to recognize a falsehood is to be well versed in the truth. Combat the danger of false prophets by looking to God as the source of truth. Compare everything you hear with what he truly says in his word, the Bible, and share the truth of the gospel with others. God's word is powerful and necessary for us to live an effective life. We can all follow Paul's advice to Timothy. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Dear listener, realize that during this journey, we will go through many difficult circumstances, but despite everything, I encourage you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us always stand firm in the truth. And so we come to the end of this video. Thank you for being part of our channel. We greatly appreciate you, dear listener. And without further ado, I now say goodbye and see you in the next video.